Channel 2 Oban, beginning of the visit with John Turner this Thursday, the 16th of January, 75. He comes to do the Channel 2 Oban. Channel 2 Oban, and beginning of the visit with John Turner this Thursday, the 16th of January, 75. Channel 2 Oban, beginning of the visit with John Turner this Thursday, the 16th of January, 75.
John?
All right.
John?
Sir?
Sit down.
What that you found there, Pim? Yeah, that's what that is.
That come from the state of Washington.
Yes, sir.
Fella, give me that. Ain't that beauty?
That's
I just been looking at it.
Yes, sir.
I
want to
get John a cup of coffee.
Yeah,
that's a that's a good size, then.
You don't want much water.
That's a good size, then.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you, I want to transact a little business with you, John.
Yes, sir.
This front lane is getting impassable. And what I need is somebody to help me. I thought I'd get the plow, that old horse.
Yes, sir.
But see, I can't get a harness for him.
That old man, the way he talked the other day, he wouldn't make no harnesses that cheap. So he just had that pair and let me have him. Said, well, it cost more than that to make a pair.
Yeah.
Now, that's what he told me. I asked him about him. I said, I was going to get another pair.
Well, all I need is just to use it for half an hour.
Yeah.
But if
mine of mine'll fit your horse.
Well,
you can let it out. You can let it out. That's what I got for my little horse. You can let it out either size you want.
Can you?
And it's all gonna go right around here.
Yeah.
Right up around your shoulders.
Yeah.
It ain't no collar to use with it.
You don't need any.
No.
No more than that.
That's right.
Well, now we got that little Ford tractor. And we can put the plow on the back of that like we've done.
Sure.
And plow it up out there.
That's right.
You can put them little sweeps on the cultivator frame.
That's right.
But they don't cut it much.
They sure don't. They surely don't.
It just needs to be cut.
That's right. It sure is.
You see, it's all up in the middle.
It's here.
And the water can't get out.
You're talking about the ditch?
Yeah.
It's your pants.
Yeah, it can't get from the ditch, can't get out.
It's
so what
pants.
It does, it just stands there.
Stands there, that's right.
Well, as I see it, all you need to do is just to cut down that center.
That's right. That's right.
If you could just cut that center down.
That's right.
Well, you can't, the only way I see to cut it is just use that little turning plow.
Old man had a middle buster. He used to put behind his tractor, Ford tractor. It was a middle buster.
Mm-hmm.
It'll sort of do it each way, you know, that middle buster.
Yeah.
And he had one of them, and I don't know where in the world he done with it. That old colored fella used to live over there with Nathan Simmons. He was 80-something years old.
Yeah.
And he farmed to the very last and raised hogs.
Yeah.
And his son and his daughter come got him. He got sick. Came him up home, up in Philadelphia to their place. And he sold all his land. He give a girl his house to stay in and an acre of land and told her she could stay there for nothing. Just pay the light bill and the telephone bill. So the girl is staying there. Ain't costing nothing to stay there. He wanted to sell that to his mom, but nobody didn't bought it, so he just leave that there.
Mm-hmm.
So his grandson can have it.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want his grandson to live in Citra no more. He killed a boy over there, the sister. Shot him to death, right there in an old gypsy joint yard once. His name was Willie Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
He killed Willie Clinton. His name was Edgar Simmons. And them boys was raised up together, wrestling and tussling and playing. They were driving tractor for the same man. They come in that Friday evening and one killed the other. That's right. That's bad. Now, both of them were waiting for the same man, Mr. D.C. Pond. You know him, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
He was waiting for him, driving tractor. They come in that Friday evening and got to drinking and things. One killed the other. And another man was standing there and said, I'll go call the sheriff or the ambulance to come get him, the hoist. And when he said that, the other fellow was standing in the dark, shot one of his eyes out. And he was running with the eyes shot out and hollering and going on. And man, they had a mess of that thing. They give that boy 20 years. I think he made 5 years and he got out. But they told him they don't want him to live there no more.
No, I guess not.
Told him they don't want him to live around there no more.
All that bad blood.
Yeah, I told him, don't want you to live here no more. So you had him live somewhere else. So I don't know what his son got to do with the house. He can't live there, they say.
That's something.
Yeah, sure is.
But now he's the one who had the buster?
Ma'am?
He's the one who had that block, that metal buster?
Yeah, his dad, his granddaddy had that. His granddaddy owned the dad. But I don't know what they done with the tractor nor them plows and things. I don't know what they done with that stuff. I don't know where they carried it. Somewhere and sold it or rented it to somebody or what. He had a good Ford tractor. A leader more than the older one, a good one. He had a good one. And he had that thing fixed up. He do all kind of planting and cultivating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, John, I'm afraid we'd like that fella. They said he's got to always got to have a day late and a dollar short. Somebody beats us to it.
That's right. That meeting to told him, my mama had a cousin was waiting for the man. And he paid him a dollar and a quarter a day. He said, Jim, I'm going to raise your wages. He said, no, sir, you ain't. I said, I'm going to raise your wages to a dollar and a half. He said, no, sir, just give me my same dollar and a quarter. I don't want no half. He didn't know that the half was more than a quarter. So he told him, no, just give me my same dollar and a quarter.
He didn't want to get that cheated, did he?
No, and he's cheating himself then because the man was giving him another extra quarter.
Well, there's a lot of ways of coming out on the short end, ain't there?
He didn't know, though. He thought he was getting less, and that was more.
Uh-huh.
He couldn't count and things. He didn't know.
Oh.
Well, so is there any use looking around for that middle buster?
I don't know now. I'm gonna go up there and ask the girl of a city, but she might be looking to see if it's around there anywhere.
It could be just lying around.
It could be. Let me see. I know a man in the Hawthorne got one. But I don't know how it could wake behind the tractor. You'd have to figure out a way to wake his behind the tractor because the mule would pull it.
Well,
of course, you could drive the tractor and I could hold it.
That's
what we
were thinking about. Well, he had one up there to Hawthorne. I wonder if he still got that thing. Now, you know Mr. Tom Baylor? He sure did. He had a good one up there. That was when he used to cut ditches for when he used to farm that land he had up there to get underwater and get knee deep. And we'd bust them ditches open in the middle.
Oh, really?
And that water would go out, dry out.
Oh, well, how do you know? I hadn't thought about that.
You sure would.
Well, what do you know?
So I guess I'll go up there, but I ought to go up there tomorrow evening and see if he got that thing right on.
Well, the first time you're up there, you can inquire.
Sure.
Well, now, John, how about this, that broom sage, all that broom sage down there? You think we just have to cut it up?
You had to do it somehow like that. You had to do it one way or other to get it off in there. You got to get it out. That place will grow plenty of corn and cucumbers.
Yeah, cucumbers.
Yeah. It'll grow.
Hey.
It's damp around there. It'll grow.
It's damp around there.
It'll grow. I got about 3 pounds of cantaloupe seeds. I saved them. Out of some good cantaloupes. I don't know.
Say that'd be something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it sure would. But they don't like too much of water.
No.
They want to start a high place like for them.
I put some of that old indigo in a low place one time.
You were right.
And all it done was just get spindly.
That's right. It won't do right.
It just likes to dry.
But that corn love that.
Yeah.
You can raise some corn with it like that.
Well, now that's what, you know, I haven't had enough corn to eat. Lord, I don't know how.
I told my wife the other night, I think I'm going to turn to a hog, a horse one. We were biting it off the carb the other night. We had it more. I told her, I ain't got much teeth, but I'm waking on this corn.
Boy, it tastes good when you haven't had it, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
John, what'd that old flu bug do to you?
Man, I couldn't breathe. It just cut my wind. and got ready in there, and I couldn't get it to move no kind of way. I took all kind of home remedies, it was doing me worse. Old man told me, he said, go get you some gin, whiskey, and what else that he told me now? Some gin, whiskey, and some lemon, and boil it, boil the lemon juice in the lemon, just cut the whole thing all up in a little water, and boil it. And then pour some of that gin in there and drink that, and that thing was making me worse and worse, look like. Yeah, it was getting worse and worse. So I throwed that thing down and then got me some contacts.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to taking them contacts, and they hope been the doctor medicine. Contacts.
Oh, really?
Contacts. You buy them in any store there.
You don't have to have a prescription.
You can buy them in any store. Save them or leave them anyway. Call them contacts. And that's the best thing I got for that cold right in here.
For opening it up?
Yes, sir. Contacts.
You have fever?
Mm-hmm. My wife, the one who had the fever, though, showing up, was 100 and something. The doctor said it was 100 and something, that she wouldn't last much longer.
Oh, really?
He gave her 3 shots, he gave me 2. And, give me a prescription for that medicine, but it looked like I was getting worse, man. Till I come to the house and you don't need a thing but some contacts. And, Sucrose. You know them things I reckon with you.
Oh, yes.
And he brought me a pack of them and them contacts. Now, he bought them for me and brought them to me. They could be high, right? Contacts high. And it's showing on the TV how that stuff goes in you and go to work right as soon as it hit in you. That contact.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So I've taken that and that's what hope me.
Well, if you could just know who to believe, you'd get well, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir. So now, I didn't take all that doctor medicine. I quit with it after I found out that was doing me good. So I'm gonna buy me another pack of them contacts. It'll take me one along every now and again. And I don't even got a bad, real bad cold. I'm gonna take me one. That'll keep it clean. Keep you free. It won't stop up with cold.
Well,
makes you feel so bad after you got over your cold.
Mm-hmm.
As John said.
Oh, really?
It sure do.
Don't feel like
that. Yes, but I feel better and better now, every day now. I took up about 10 of them contacts, and that made me, I got feeling good now.
Well, let me tell you, John, when your wife got down, who done the cooking?
My little daughter would go to school. You know, my daughter would go to school.
Mm-hmm.
She'd go to North Mirror. She'd do the cooking. And the other one come back home, which had been gone, and she stayed right there with her until she got up. A lady come by there, my wife would say, her head was hurting, her hip was hurting, all back her neck. And a lady come by there, a colored lady. She said, I can tell you just what's hurting you. She said, your back worry you all the time. Looking right at me, I said, what does this woman know about me? Said, your back worry you all the time, and back of your neck, and around your eyes. I said, how do you know that? She said, you didn't tell me that, did you? I said, no. She said, I know what is wrong with you. And she had a bottle of olive oil. She said, now, if you let me pray for you tonight, your head will dissolve. So you'll find in a few minutes you'll feel better. She said, hold your hands up and say, thank you, Jesus. I hold my hand up and said that, and I could feel something going through me. And you know, after that, my back ain't worrying no more today since she done that last night. A healing woman. Yeah, she be over there running a meeting over there now. And then and then my wife come out the room walking and laughing.
Now what's that?
Then and then prayed for my wife and laid a hand on her with that olive oil and rubbed her.
Yeah.
And my wife come out the room laughing, walking proud of the devil and laughing last night.
And she hadn't been able to get
hadn't
out.
Been able to get up in time. Now that ain't no joke. That's really true.
You saw it.
I was right there. And I got an auntie, went to church walking with a walking stick and couldn't walk without a stick. She told her, throw that stick away. What you doing with that stick? In church. And she said, hold up your hand and said, thank you, Jesus. And she hold up her hand and said, thank you, Jesus, 2 or 3 times. And she rubbed her with that olive oil. She threw that stick away and was, the old boy was still there laughing and said, she went switching.
Is that right?
She went switching. Twitching like you were when you was a little girl.
You mean riding horse?
Yeah, so walking me when they're switching. They're so switchy.
Oh, I see. I see.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah.
Throw that stick away. Say she ain't used a stick no more since. That was the night before last.
My goodness.
So she asked me to come to church tonight, so I wouldn't promise her for sure, but I reckon I better go out there and see.
I don't believe you got any choice.
I don't. I'll tell you the truth.
Anybody do that to your family?
You ain't joking.
You had to go and take all your family.
You ain't joking. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's something.
It sure is. It got by me. It got on me. I didn't know what it was. He just walked right up to me and told me, he said, "Nah, you." I said, "I want you to heal me too." I just said it, you know. You don't call myself running off, you know, at the mouth. She said, "I can tell you what it is. You say your back worries you all the time right back there. Right long there." She taught me back then.
Well, did she get you or your wife first?
Got my wife first. My wife come out the room laughing and walking, yeah.
And then you went up and said to her.
Yeah, I said, "I better get you to pray for me then."
Yeah.
So that time she did.
Just running off the mouth.
Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, I got to wait till later. But she got me right. She said, "Better come on right now." I meant to get out on my knees for the pray, you know. She said, "Uh-uh." She said, "Stand straight up and put your hands straight up and say, thank you, Jesus."
Ain't no use getting down on your knees.
That's what she said.
Just stand up where you are.
I stood up and put my hands up and said, "Thank you, Jesus," like you told me. And she rubbed that all around my neck and on my head and like that.
Well, now, is she holding a meeting?
Yeah, she's running a meeting. Right down into that little church in Adam Long built. Man from Gambler is the pastor of that church named Elder Carter.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Church of God in Christ.
Oh.
That's what they are. They're Church of God in Christ people.
Well, I wouldn't mind going over there a little myself.
Sure, right. Yeah, sure. She's going to run that meeting all this week and next week until the Lord tell her to go somewhere there.
Right down there where I am.
That way he got me. And she stood right there and told me, "I can tell you just what it is you.
Yeah.
Your back's worried. You right back cross there.
Yeah.
And your head and up over your eyes get to worrying you sometime with your head and that runs from your spine back there."
Yeah.
That is what she said. I said, "How you know that?" She said, "You didn't tell me, did you?" That's what got me.
Yeah.
I didn't tell her nothing about nothing. She said, "You didn't ask me and you didn't tell me, did you?"
Yeah.
I said, "I sure didn't." I said, "How do you know that?" She said, "Well, that's all right. You didn't know that. They didn't know I knew all of that, did you?"
Yeah. Well, now she must have a right smart on the ball.
Must
John.
Be. Must be.
Where do you stay reckon they get that?
I don't know. They must be living pretty good with the Lord. Must be.
If they mean, they wouldn't be able to do it.
They sure wouldn't. But, you know, I used to be a deacon of the church. I want to tell you about myself. And the Spirit that's come to me sometimes said, "You know why you have them aches and pains?" I said, "Oh, sure, I ain't said nothing." See? Said, "No, you know why you have them aches and pains?" Say, "You know what the Bible says?" I said, "What that?" To myself, you know. They say, "I chase thee home I love." Say, "You ever read that about I chase thee home I love?" Said, "Jesus loves you." Said, "But you don't love him." Said, "Then you keep his command." I quit going to church. You know, I don't go to church anymore. I quit going to church. But he told me he's whooping me for not going. He done told me that himself. In a voice. But I just wouldn't want to weaken and go to it. You understand?
Yeah.
You know, that's just it. I'll just tell the truth about it. I know it's right to go to.
Well, you as a deacon, John, how did you manage, if you was a deacon, how did you manage not to...
Just stop going, you know, the children. The people were sending the children to church. All right, I'm going to tell you just how it was. It was an old lady, about 80-some years old. I told her I wouldn't go to church no more. I said, "I ain't going out there no more." She said, "Why?" I said, "The children come in church playing and fighting and want to curse in the church." I said, "And the parents ought to be there with them to chastise them and things. And I ain't going to be trying to chastise them and anything for them to jump on me or go to arguing at me." So I said, "Well, I just won't go." She said, "You go anyhow." and do what you're supposed to do. And tell the children parents on them, and if they don't wake, that don't wake up, tell them don't send them out to church where you is unless they come in and bring them. But I wouldn't go on to church, you know, I quit.
You didn't want all that responsibility.
That's right. But all them children was, and the people would never come to church with them, and they just had their way. Just never want to have their way all over church and there. So I just said, quit doing it. But I shouldn't have never quit. That's what that old lady told me. Old lady, she dead now. But she said, you do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. And she told you right.
She sure did. I see.
Well, John, I know some of these children can act so ugly, you just wish you hadn't seen them.
Oh, you ain't joking. They're mean about it, too, no. They're worse than I ain't ever been. They're worse than I ain't ever been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, they picked up a whole lot of boys out there for y'all. See, little boys. Get them out into the jail, the sheriff did.
Mm.
They go around and go and look at people's houses and go in them. Get people's stuff out their houses.
Oh.
And the man said, uh-uh. Said, them little boys don't do that on their own. Said, some old person pushing them up to do these things. And they stand back and look.
Oh.
So he said he going to arrest every one of them until they get them all. He got the fingerprints off of the places where they went in.
Yeah.
And he got fingerprint every one of them. And the fingerprint would correspond to that. That's the one that went in. And the others helped tote the stuff off. So he said he's going to get every one of them out there, the sister. Say it's about eight of them. He's going to get them.
Yeah.
He said he's going to get them. And I said, yeah. I said, all of them and them little colored boys? He said, no. Say it's white ones and colored ones doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I just don't know what got wrong with them.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the sheriff told me.
Yes, the white one ain't gonna do it unless the colored do it. The colored, you can't figure they gonna do it unless the white ones doing it too.
I'll tell you what they do. They get together with the white one and the colored one. Now they get together and stand up and make up plots. I don't know why they do
yeah.
that. I don't know why they do that.
I gotta change my jacket. I'll be right back.
Yes, ma'am.
Now let me tell you, John. Tell me about them fair trees. Now you got them in the. We didn't set them out
sure.
in the ground out there, but you got them in them...
They'll root right in there. Well, you can let them stay right there till any time of the year, no, and put them out.
Yeah.
But to set the bucket, dig your hole and set the bucket and all down, level with the bucket.
Yeah.
And see, can you open the hole big enough where you can just split the side of the bucket if you want to. Or juke some more holes on the side of it and set it right down the hole.
Yeah.
Just stay right there and live. You water them about once a week if it go to drying out so bad, you know.
Yeah.
And keep it damp in that bucket.
Just keep it damp. You don't want
right.
wet. You just want to...
If you wet it, it's all right. But you know why you want to keep it that way, where it'll root good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have no ruler to put on them. You know, you they got a thing in the store. They call it the ruler. On the end of it, we all cut it.
No.
Yeah, they got something look like a wax, like. And just wash it, rid it right in that. Slip that in there. That'll hit a root quicker.
Oh,
they got it under the seed store. Mm-hmm.
Well, gee whiz.
And make it grow a root quicker. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if anybody would tell me to go in the store and get a rooter, I'd think they were just
no,
kidding me. Just
sure got a thing you would dip it in and it'll root quicker and faster. I got some potatoes, Danny.
Oh, have you?
They had them come up the other morning, and I went back out there and looked after that ice the other morning.
Yeah.
They're going back under the dirt, but they'll come back out. I planted them. About a bushel of sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
But I want to show you how to make sweet potatoes right down there where you all had them. I want to show you how to make some sweet potatoes. Eh?
All right.
I want to show you. And you got to plant them on the sign, fish sign.
Yes.
That's in the sign in the ground.
Yeah.
Now, them rutabagas, they're planted on the wrong time. They're supposed to be planted on a fish sign that grow the big old rutabaga. But they ain't got grown much now but a top and a little rutabaga. You seen them out there? The rutabagas about big as a turnip.
Yeah, I don't know why we didn't go on up there and look at them rutabagas.
Yeah, I declare. They're up on the other end most of them.
Yeah.
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 And cabbage plants? Great deal out there.
Yeah.
Ain't many collard plants, but plenty of cabbage plants.
Yeah. You, well, we can just put that in cabbage, can't we?
Me around the pond?
Out there. We got plenty of room out there.
Sure is. Yeah, we need to get them plants out.
Well, let me tell you, let's get them out.
You're right.
Let me tell you what let's do. Let's lay off. It don't take long once we get out there.
That's right.
Let's lay off to put them out. What's happened to old Henry?
Henry down in his back. Oh. I mean, he really down. He had no joke. Henry went to the doctor. What day? Now, what day this week? So the doctor said he can't find nothing near his back, and his back killing him. He can't hardly stoop over. Mm-hmm.
Well, is that where he got buried down there?
No. That's something else now, ill his back. Because they paid him at Social Security for that. They put him on Social Security. But he'll never be no more good. Put him on Social Security.
Oh, he won't?
No. They say he won't. And one of the doctors saying they wouldn't want to say ain't nothing to heal him.
Well, now that's nice.
Yeah. Let me see, he said he gave him $100 and something a month for Social Security income.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to take care of him.
It sure won't. That was my daughter, that's her husband. She works. And that's about all that she waited, but she but get them all on them food stamps thing to get them. Mm-hmm.
That help a little?
Yeah, sir. They charge me $80 a month for mine.
I don't know why they're going to give you something and then go up on the price, John.
Charge me $80-something for $230 worth. But I had to pay $80-something a month to get that $230-something worth.
Well, why do they want to charge you for something when they're trying to give you something?
Yes, a man was standing in the line. They said, how many stamps did it give you? I said, they don't give me none. I said, I'll bomb. He said, they ain't giving you nothing then. I said, I don't pay nothing for mine. I said, how do you do that? Give them to some people and some people they charge them for them. He said, he don't know.
I didn't know they give them to anybody.
That man said, they sure giving him his. He said, he don't pay nothing for them. Now, I ain't seen him hand him no money that day. He hand him a paper.
Now, Faith, what'd you find out about the garden? We've been doing that wrong, John.
Hill.
John says we ought to cut those big ones down to the bottom. Just cut them off.
Yeah, them great big ones.
They'll come back. But he says those big ones are good.
Yeah.
And he's going to sell some of them.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
He said he gets 50 cents a bunch for him.
You can get 50 cents a bunch for him.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And he showed me the rutabagas, guy. There's a lot of rutabagas.
They sure is.
They're not big yet, though.
They sure ain't. If they'd have been planted on a tree side, they'd have been large.
Mm-hmm.
But that turnip, I don't know how it grew that large, because they all was planted the same day.
I know it.
But you see them little greens on this end, too, how they just come in, just come up. They were planted the same day. They were green and they were planted the same day.
And John said he's got to come back over here and set out the cabbage.
Got to clean out some roads and plant them. Got to do that.
And the collards too, John.
Yeah, sir. But we could, there's plenty of land down there for every year. All you got to do is just run over it lightly or something and get it where you can lay off them roads and set them out. And water them about once and they're gone. Yes, sir.
So Henry could get a hold of that tractor and tune it up or do something to it.
I'm not trying to get him to come over here one day. He able to get up and sit up a little while and stand around and thing and do little things like that. But
he could show you what to
do. Yeah, he sure could. He know what to do. That car of mine was running so bad the other day. He used to come to my house and pick me up. I go down to your house and I'll stop. Get your daughter car and come pick me up. So I went up there. His wife was going away with my daughter. I went up there and picked him up and carried him out of the house. And I bought the set of points and he put them on there. That car don't use as much gas. And it got more pep to it now than it ever had in there since he put them in there for me.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's worrying, but he fixed it for me. Yeah. I said, how much are you, Henry, for doing it? He said, I couldn't charge you. Yeah, you don't owe me nothing. I couldn't charge you.
Well, maybe he'd tell me that.
Yeah, sir. Mm-hmm. All he wants you to get, or if he tell you to get a part, you get it and he'll put it on there.
Yeah.
Now, I had my old car to go to inspection, and one of the wheels, the man turned it down, said the brakes wasn't holding on one wheel, one of the front wheels. Henry said, you get the kit and the brake shoe, and I'll put it on there. And he put that on, and I went back and went right on through there. I said, what are you for that, Henry? I said, you're working too much for nothing. I done told you I can't charge you.
And he done it.
Went right on through there.
Well, if he can do the brakes, he can do about anything, can he?
He sure can. Yes, sir. You done sold your old Chevrolet?
This old Chevy?
Yeah.
No, it's still there. It's going to rust out, though, if I don't put a little paint on the back end.
How much you want for it?
I don't know. You couldn't use it.
Why?
That ain't good enough for you.
You always say that.
John, it wouldn't haul your stuff. I don't believe it's such a ratty thing.
It's pretty flimsy, John. You know, if you run it on Sunday or something like that, it's all right.
Yeah.
But just run it all the time, I don't believe it'll hold up.
No.
I'd hate to see you have it.
You got that old battery in there, and the battery stand is long ago, and they fix it on to the fender and something like that, but it won't hold.
I got one of the same model, but it looked like it a little longer. That's the same model. Is that's a power glide? That's a standard transmission in there?
No, it's automatic.
That's what that and I got is.
Is that right?
I got one in my yard.
Yeah.
But it needs some things on it.
Yeah. Well, so does this one.
Yeah.
John says he's going to have to come over here. Maybe tomorrow would be a good day and get and sell some of that.
Need to get up somewhere and try to sell somewhere before it all... The only thing I go to ruin.
Yes, you don't want to go to ruin.
No.
And then he's going to come next week and...
Now, you could get it this afternoon if you didn't have to go to Ocala.
And I got to go there because the man done called me and told me to be there at 5:30 anyhow. No later than 5:30. Got a good while yet, though. But if I go by France and take them greens and then going around, I'll take me a good little while to get back around and get out. Back, and then I got to go home and clean up a little bit so I can go in there to them people.
What's wrong with you now?
Yes, sir, that old dirty nasty man coming in here. Got to go in that office where he is.
Where'd you get them khaki trousers, John?
Which is?
Them
yeah?
G.I. woolen G.I.
These here? White fella give them to me. They're about new. Just drove up one day and asked me that I want some pants so he believe he'll fit me. And give them to me.
Well, I'll be done.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, they're warm.
Yes, they keep me warm, these young dudes.
Yes. You take a cold day like we've been having, they just feel good.
They feel good, yes, sir. Look, yesterday was the first time I went out and done anything to mount anything. I went out and picked on 6 times 10. 6 times 10 is what, 60?
Yeah.
Picked 60 bucks on you.
Oh, you did?
Yesterday. 60 boxes. Six of them things hold. Each one of them hold 10 boxes. I pulled six of them yesterday.
You must be feeling much better.
Yes, sir. I pulled six of them yesterday.
Well, if that didn't make you sick, you're getting better.
I feel like I'm here, getting better and better now. I pulled six of them yesterday. Man wanted me back today, but I told him no, I had promised to go off a piece today, and I couldn't make it.
I wondered about that. You've been missing out on all that orange picking.
All that orange picking. I didn't get chances, and the people that made the money, a whole lot of them is, and a whole lot of them just starting. But a whole lot of them done made money. And every year I've been going to Mr. Huff. And this time of the year I've been done made me a little change and have enough to do.
You make more than that, and you can't fool with a little garden, John.
Yeah, but when that'll be gone directly. If you don't have a garden or something, you're still into it.
Yeah.
But if you get the little garden on the side to come in, as soon as the orange is gone, the gardener will pick you up a little crop.
Yeah.
That's the way I look into it.
Yeah.
Keep something coming and something going.
Yeah. Well, now, let me tell you, John, on this business thing. you want me to get that rig over here and cut up all this land?
Yes, I wonder how much that got cost.
Well, it's going to... It won't cost as much as it would to do it yourself.
No.
Because that way you got the gas and the upkeep of the tractor, and it costs money. And I can't get anybody to work on them anymore.
Yeah.
And this old Alice Chalmers, you see, it's got the point it won't have to pull.
Yeah.
It just, you see, you get a mechanic up here, and he looks at it, and he fixes a little something, but he leaves it.
How many acres is that up there?
5 acres.
Five.
Yeah. And then all this down here needs, you see, if you're going to cut that, you ought to double cut it.
Yes.
And the same thing down here. You ought to just keep cutting that till you get it pulverized.
Yes, that's right.
And it's dry enough, I think, now to get it in
there. Yes, I think it is.
It rained a couple inches over here, but I don't believe that would. I believe you can still get in there.
I sure do. Well, if he come over here, I just have to get it cut while he's here.
Yeah.
But I can't cut the garden. Be the garden at no more, not yet.
No. Well, that's pretty well. That ain't much of that.
Ain't much of that, no.
No, you can practically do that with a hair.
Sure, right. While he's here, if it's ain't but 5 in there, I better get it done while he's here. If you coming in here, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yes. I better get it done. I reckon. Ain't no need to put it off. If you get that done now, why, it'll be pulverized good when you're done.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, when you go out, you better stop and speak to him.
Yes.
Because he'll do it for you quicker than he would for me.
No, I see. All right. I'll stop by there and talk with him now.
And then if he gets in here, I'll tell you what I can do.
Yes, sir.
When he comes up that lane, I just let him cut that lane.
Sure, right.
What's wrong with that?
Well, nothing.
Let him cut it 2 or 3 or 4 times.
That's right. That'll make it better to come in and out.
And flatten it there, yeah. And then go over it with the tractor and get it where you want it.
That's right.
Okay, Faye. I guess that's the business.
Okay, John.
And I'm not going to
stop
by this man now, and then I'll go to Miss
Francis,
and carry her. She wants a bunch of mustard and a few of them onions.
Yeah.
So I'm going to carry it by to her, and then I'm about to get on in.
I see.
And get ready to go down yonder to them people. They worrying me, calling me to come in there. They tell me now to come get my Social Security.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Told me to come in and sign, send me a letter to come in and sign for my Social Security.
Well, you better get in there.
Yeah. I'm 62 years old. My birthday gone, but this year I'll be 63. But they wrote me a letter to come in and get it.
Well, you're gonna go, ain't you?
I better go get it if you gotta give it to me.
Yeah. Well, now, what's wrong with them clothes you got on, John? They all look good.
Yes, sir. I go with most anyway like that. My wife always get them. Why don't you put on, clean up over there, and put on some clean things and comb your hair and cut them things under your neck. And she'll get on me if I don't clean up and things when I'm going on.
Well, you got a good shirt on?
Yes, I got a good shirt. I got a good coat in the car, one of them pretty coats.
Well, yes. What's wrong with you? So that's all you need, just that coat.
That's right. I'll put on that coat and go on in there. Well, I'm going to go, Mr. Morgan.
Right.
If that fella come, I'll go by there and stop and talk to him.
All right.
And I'll tell him about it.
All right.
And you come in, you catch him then.
Now, he's Izell's friend. He's one of Izell's friends.
Yes, all right.
Now, I don't know him. I've just seen him.
Now, I seen him on the breaking land when I was coming in. Mm-hmm.
John Turner, end of the visit with John Turner, this Thursday, the 16th of January, 75, Channel 2 over, 1 to 700, this is 700, Channel 1 over, 700, and the end of the visit with John Turner, this Thursday at the 16th of January, 75. Channel 2 over on 700, beginning a visit with Judy and Becky Lee this Saturday, the 18th of January, 75. Channel 2 over and beginning a visit with Judy and Becky Lee this Saturday, 18th of January, 75. Channel 2 over around 700 and beginning a visit with Judy and Becky Lee this Saturday, the 18th of January, 75.
Hello,
I saw that yellow.
Hi there.
Who's that over there?
Becky. What I did was I told these children that I had this very good friend who was ill and had been in the hospital for a long time. And they thought that was kind of funny, and they didn't understand it. And I told them that she had been a
fine
girl,
listen.
And that she
was
now older. She's
Are you joking?
And I said, you know how sad it is when you're in the hospital. You can't get up and walk around. And that made a big impression on them. First of all, she was a teacher. And secondly, that she couldn't walk around. And so they sat down and wrote these letters, and they are a scream. They are, really, some of them are the cutest.
You read
them. All right, look at this.
Give them a good one.
Yeah,
a real
all
good.
Right. I'll just pick out a few choice ones. Okay.
Yes, she can.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I am sorry that you is sick. Now, this is, I told them how to spell words that they needed to spell, but I didn't tell them what to write. I am sorry that you is sick. I hope you get well, and I will like to see you. I wish you can walk, and I wish you get well. They're trying to spell well, but she didn't spell well. I hope you can start back and walk again. Love, Deborah Scott.
Now, these are
second graders.
Second
graders.
They drew pictures.
Oh, your little pictures on them. Daddy said he didn't know if she could read them or not, and I said, well, I thought somebody would be there that could read them to her.
She can read them.
Yeah.
It is big.
H-U-T-C-H-I-N-S-O-N?
No, H-U-T-C-H-I-S-O-N.
Yeah. Oh, it's no N in there. Well, I have to get rid of this N in here.
Leave it alone.
Well, I'm the one that spelled it wrong.
That's not so good, is it, Faye?
These things...
Oh, they're so cute.
Well, most of them, you know, just, I am sorry you are sick. I would try to get you a get well card. I wish that you can get out of the hospital. Love, Fred Bowers. And this says, dear Miss Hutchinson, how are you feeling? I hope you get well soon. I wish you come out of the hospital. Love, Justine General.
Is that Miss Hutchinson?
Uh-huh.
Who's Miss Hutchinson?
Hazel. Aunt Hazel. These are the Aunt Hazel.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
I sent them to Hazel.
It says, I hope you feel better. I wish to give you a flower. Sometimes I give Ms. O'Connell flowers, and she likes them. I think you would like them, too. Love, Charmin Dillon.
Charmin Dillon.
All these children are from this area. I hope you like our letters and take them home. He said, she's going to throw these letters away. And I said, child, she'll keep these letters till the day she dies.
She will, too.
This child, she was fascinated by the fact that Aunt Hazel wrote. I said, well, she has written books, and she had written books about her teaching. And she said, dear Miss Hutchinson, I wrote you this so you will feel better soon. When you are in the hospital, I feel sad. I wish you would teach me how to write stories soon. I love you so much, I feel like flowers, Miss Hutchinson. I hope you come around to see us. I wish you were here. Do you know me? I am Sean. Now you know me. I wish I were there. Get well soon. Love, Sean. For life.
Now you know me.
That's
the best one, I think.
Now you know me.
And
they don't understand. They didn't understand that she didn't teach anymore. I told them she was a lot older than I was, but they couldn't grasp it.
Anybody
that
teaches is pretty old.
I will hope you get well again. I hope you can walk again soon. I hope you can teach school again. I hope you will like to see your class. I will hope to see you sometime. Love, James Thomas.
Isn't that nice?
See, he thought, well, she's going to go back to her class when she gets out of the hospital. This one says, I hope you feel better, better now. I hope you be my teacher sometime. I hope you feel so, so better. Sometime I hope I can come down there soon. I hope you feel so better. Love, Ken Stassen.
Well, I was trying.
Yeah, he's getting it out.
Yeah, a lot of these are black.
Oh, yes, most of them are. I have about 6 white out of 31, and then the rest are black.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's Chelsea. I wish you can teach very soon. Oh, there.
And they all these pictures.
Oh, yeah. I hope you can get well and go home. I wish you was my teacher next year. I bet you was a nice teacher. I wish you will be better after a while. If you do not be in the hospital, you will not get it better. If you do not be
like
in the
thinking.
Yeah.
What is the coloring?
They just color different things. I told them color.
They're so natural, you know, that's what makes it so nice.
Anything I said, color something you think would make her feel good. And they thought, well, bright colors, you know, or flowers or something, you know.
Red.
Is that better?
I don't know what that is. I think this was supposed to be a train, but then you know how they kind of want to have hearts on them. I know the hearts are the cutest thing. This little boy is he's real low, but he said, dear Miss Hutchinson, I love you, dear Miss Hutchinson. I love you. Yes, I do. Do you love me? Yes. I hope you will be well soon. This old girl said, did you have a good Christmas? I hope that you will get to get up and walk. Love, Miriam Brown. And yeah, I wish you didn't live so far away. This old girl said, I love you, dear Miss Hutchinson. I am going to PE now. I hope you get better. Love, Trisha Coo. Had a little house and flowers in it.
She drew a real house.
Oh, yeah. This old boy's a character. We hope to see you when you is not ill. We love you. I love you. I hope you like this class. We are a good class. We want to see you. Love, Alvoid Simmons, Jr.
Alvoid.
Isn't that a name? Listen, dear Miss Hutchinson, I know, I know you cannot get up out of bed. Is you feeling good now? I hope you will get well soon. I wrote this letter in my room.
I'm so glad you're teaching them.
You try and correct them, but then when they write something like this, I don't like to say, now that's not right, because then they kind of feel pressed, and then they change it to what you want them to say.
Yeah,
that's
so much nicer.
Yeah.
Well, they got to speak kind of the language they're speaking.
You can't cross the thing too much, I feel.
When you're trying to do something creative like this. If I was teaching them English, during English, they usually say, what is it? You say, McKinley, where's your baker? Where's your pencil? I ain't got none. And boy, I leap off. I do not have one at this time, Mrs. O'Connell. I straighten it out real quick. But when they're doing this, I want them to say what they want to say. You must be a nice lady, sister. You must be a nice lady. We is sorry you is in the hospital. I wish we can get out the hospital. Love, Robert Lee Richardson. He's from around here, the Lord.
Well, I don't know. I think a right smart difference from what I used to about language.
Really?
So little. Yeah, it's written so little.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually read so little. It's all mostly oral. And we wrote this little thing on Mr. Nealon. Oh, it's 150 pages with Drake. Mr. Nealon looked at it and made a few notes on it. Now he's going to pass it around some of his friends. Why, they just keep it, or else I couldn't locate him. And I could see pretty soon that Mr. Nealon's friends didn't read.
No.
Anything in the culture they'll pick up, but once you start teaching something,
as far as expressing, when they're trying to express
I can't really see anything wrong with it.
But
babe.
I know that they
that's
got,
their
you
culture.
Know.
Why should someone have to switch it around for?
Well, not when they are trying to express something, but they've got to learn to speak, because you can't go out and try and get a job and say, fill out this application. I ain't got any pencil. I mean, they're even going to get
I know,
any
but still,
pencil.
You're putting them in a culture where they, sometimes I don't know if they really belong in a culture like that.
Well, I know, but it's a white world, Becky.
It's a white
United States.
Well, I know, but all the time I was a GI, all the blanks that we had to fill out,
mm-hmm.
I never filled out a one.
Really?
They always had a sergeant there who could do it better than I could.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
And some of the blanks are really ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, God.
They wanted to get them right, you see, so they did them themselves.
Yeah.
I was there and answered questions, but they did the work.
Uh-huh.
I tell you, this filling blanks out, not a simple thing, not a simple thing.
No, it can get kind of rough, I'm sure. This girl said,
you got to decide what you're doing. People that are going to fill out blanks are the ones who are going to do it for them.
Well, yeah. Maybe a little bit of both. It'd be nice to get them above writing their name. This old girl said, if you weren't so far away, I would bring you some flowers.
Flowers.
This old girl's been in the hospital. She has deformed kidneys. And she said, I hope you get well soon. I hope you have lots of visitors. I was in the hospital one time. It was no fun. That's the best one. I'm going to say that one's the last. That is priceless. This is, I wish you feel better and strong and healthy and teach again. I wish you can get up and walk around. I hope feel better soon. Left out you. I hope you have a better day in the hospital. I hope you have a good day. But this child is the funny. Do you know the Halls that live around here up in Orange Lake? I don't know if you've ever run into them. It's a huge family. And this little boy is about this big. He's the tiniest one in my class and just a character. He smiles and his mouth goes like a beak, like a bird beak. He's the funniest thing. And he says, "Dear Miss Hutchinson, I hope you be well. Did you have a good Christmas? Did Santa Claus bring you a lot? I don't like to be sick. It is not fun to be sick. It is fun to play in the rain. You don't play in the rain because you will get sicker. Love you."
Isn't that cute?
Second grader.
Isn't that cute?
I never see that one.
Well, now, what do you know about the Halls?
Well, they're just, you know, there is, Ulysses was telling me the other day, he's so cute, his father is dead. And he said, "Do you know how my father died?" And I said, "No, sweetie, I don't know." So, well, some man shot him in the shoulder and he ran into a wire and it cut his throat.
Oh,
that horrible, and, but they, you know, he accepted.
That's
where
we live.
Yeah,
that's right.
And, yeah.
A matter of fact of life.
Yeah.
And
yeah. He came to school last week, the same little boy, and he didn't have on any underwear. And I said, "Ulysses, do you have any underwear at home?" And he said, "No, just my sister's." And I said, he said, "And I wear them sometime." And I said, "Well, would you like for me to get you some little boys' underwear?" I thought, you know, they aren't that expensive. And he said, "Well, I don't know." And I said, "Well, why don't you know?" He said, "I ain't never worn them before."
Huh?
"You never had them on. How do you know if you're going to like them or not?"
Well, that's the truth.
But he's a cute little boy.
Don't
you know she's sweet name? I wonder that. That is just precious.
It's
fun
playing in the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't play in the rain
because
you will get sicker. You will get sicker.
But can't you see her just loving me?
Oh,
well,
I think
she can be.
Yeah.
She can be. I mean, she
well,
can
what,
see.
What live halls do you know about down there?
What now? Now, this isn't Halls and McIntosh. This is a group of black people that live down here in Orange Lake. And they're all related to the Lowry's and Halls. And
oh, he's black.
Yeah, this old boy's black.
You've got more acquaintances amongst the blacks than you have there.
I really do. That's the truth.
A lot of your children come from around Orange Lake.
Oh, yeah. And Evanston and Boardman. Yeah, I've had a lot of kids from Boardman. You know, up there on the other side of McIntosh,
yeah.
It's kind of a rough area. But, a lot of them do. Rest in from out there. But we've got to get back, but I just wanted to share these with you because I just thought they were so cute.
Oh, you want to get her address?
I think Mama has it, doesn't she? It's
Bingman
Home.
No, let me
be sure you get it.
Okay.
She may not have the last one.
Well,
read me some more.
Aren't they good though?
They really. I thought they were so cute. I just thought they were precious.
Now, can you see them making a little progress, Lauren?
Oh yeah.
But
they're coming.
Dot the eyes, no.
Yeah. Trying to get these capitals in the right way.
Well, they do pretty good for second graders,
they
I'd
aren't
say.
Too bad.
They express themselves pretty well.
Yes, and if they heard the same language at home,
that's
that,
right. They're learning a foreign language. What it amounts to a large extent.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, something.
I bet they are.
This, of course, I can't handle the colors. You know, I talk to, but amongst the white people I've talked to out here. Right in the same family, Mr. and Miss Patterson. Miss Patterson could speak both, but she went a little bit towards the correct forms of the school language.
Now this is a black lady?
Oh no.
White.
And Mr. Patterson, now he's a long, tall fella, and they were my best friends out here for several years. They both died with about 2 months of each other.
Good God.
And I used to think he was just a big blow, pompous, everything. But it turned out I thought Mrs. Patterson was the one. She's the one I want. He wouldn't speak that old school language. He just speaks that plain old native language. I don't know what you'd call it, the kind that most people used to speak.
Hmm.
Now you'd say it ain't just the way people says it is. Hmm. You see, I mean, you can just put all those tags in it, but the tags are there, and some of them are just tags of any spoken English. But he could talk, and he didn't have to look for words, and he didn't worry about the grammar and things like that,
mm-hmm.
you see. And he never said, one does this sort of thing. See, that's emasculates the language when you start being correct.
Well, I found that the majority of the black teachers at our school are more interested in getting these children to speak at least, you know, halfway decent English than they are in read and math. Those are the three main things they're interested in, and probably reading and the verbal communication is at the top of their list. And they don't like it when they, you know, talk like they do at home. They're trying to break them of it.
Well, the thing is, Julie, the thing that bothers me about that is that they, somewhere along the line, they've been made ashamed of their own dialect.
Yeah.
And that's why, and they don't, it stands them out, it sets them apart,
yeah.
when they talk like that. And they don't like that, which is sort of bad because they're not individuals anymore. They're
no.
not a group. They're blending into a way which is foreign to them.
But I still say that if they're going to work, you know. And who is that fellow that was so interesting that we had for a course one time? He lives in Ocala. And he used to say, he'd call the roll and this girl never came to class. He was a black fellow. And he spoke very, very nice English. He was squeezy, just average. And until he would get upset about something. And then he would break down. He was fainting and he would say, this girl's name was Patricia Gorto. And he talked with his tongue kind of under his teeth, and he'd go down the row, and he'd call us off, and he'd get to Pat, and he'd say, Gonto, and Gonto was never there, and he'd say, Gonto, like that. And finally, he'd look out over that roster and say, Gonto, is you here today? Just like that, and then he'd realize what he said, and he'd get back in the swing of things and go on with his whatever he was talking about.
You know, as I think about it now, I was right close to that when I was growing up. But I just found out the way from it that it never came natural for me to talk like
mm-hmm.
that. And you know, I just feel so sad about that I'm not bilingual like.
Yeah.
Well, you know we catch ourselves at school saying things. And Tim said to me the other day, he said, "What did you say?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to toast this so and so." And the children use that term, "Tote." I'm going to toast this to the so
and
so.
But it'll just
and
be tagged.
Barbara Long.
Hi, Barbara.
Have a seat. Go ahead and talk.
Okay.
Well, you look healthy and happy.
I feel healthy and happy. Reasonably so.
Oh, no.
Just 24 hours.
It's
better than that.
Yeah,
watching
color TV.
Good meal.
Yeah. Flipping the switch with your thumb or something up and all.
I hope they didn't have you on a liquid diet.
No, only one meal. That was the one at noon yesterday.
Did they run tests or something?
I had a kidney biopsy.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't have to take the kidney out to look at it.
No, not quite.
Oh.
Tell you what, how is your friends over at your house today? The ones that were very unfriendly to me.
Oh, the dogs?
Yeah.
No. Oh, they're grouping up again this afternoon. We got three over there so far.
Oh.
So far, there are three.
Yeah.
Probably two more will arrive.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell
you, brother.
There is one little black oboe that I'm going to get.
That dog is something, isn't it?
That's the drunkenest dog.
He
does.
Bark. He was after me today.
He
is.
But you know,
he
he's
really
good
was.
To have down in
but
Ocala.
You just have.
He
someone
really
told
is.
Me, this man told me that this gas man came to our house one time and he was really quite friendly with the dog. And he said, don't ever approach a dog with your hand like this. He said, approach a dog, and it's true too. He said, approach him with the back of your hand. He said, because if you come with them like this, the dogs will gives them more tendency to bite because of the hand. Because if you give them the back of your hand and let them smell you and just take it easy, and Turney didn't offer to bite him either, which is, you know, it's sort of unusual for him coming in the house there. And he just very slowly lets the dog approach him and gives him the back of the hand. Never the front. He said, always give him the back.
Then I guess Robert knows that. Never bothers me. It's
well, he
oval,
knows you're good, you see. See, he's discriminating.
But it's oval.
Oval. Oval.
That's your dog.
Yeah.
Well, Turnip.
Super dog.
Seemed to be right friendly, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. I tell you, he discriminates. He knows good from bad.
But he can be rough.
Oh, yeah. This man, you know, this man came in and it was so sad because it was a black guy and we were in Washington. And he opened the door. I was to let him in to use the phone or something. He was fixing the gas pipes out front. And I didn't know he was afraid of dogs. And the attorney was at the top of the stairs. And the minute I opened the door, the fellow started to step in. And attorney came down the stairs, which was right at the door, like grease lightning, as the guy said. Grease lightning. I like that phrase. And he just tore down after that man. And he has never offered to attack like that. And the guy got out quickly and he said, I'm terrified of dogs. He said, I've been terrified of dogs for years. He said, and that dog knew it. He said, I'm not coming in that house. And he said, and we were discussing it, and he said that when people are afraid and have fear, they give out their body has a certain chemical which is produced on the skin or something. This was his theory. And the dog can detect it like that, and he'll come for it. But Turney has never attacked. I mean, he'll
horses is probably the same,
you know,
way
nip at someone.
Afraid of
but he won't attack. I mean, he would have killed that man.
Uh-huh.
Because he just, no hesitation, just down those stairs right on top of that man nearly. And he got out the door, slammed the door in his face.
Well, there's a watchdog.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, he must have known, because he has never offered to attack anyone like, not like that. I mean, he's kept his distance, but he never offered to attack like that. But the guy was afraid of him, and he admitted.
He looked so friendly over there. The other dogs were barking, but
yeah.
He doesn't generally.
There's some people
so
he doesn't
big, he
like.
He doesn't have to worry
uh-huh.
about it.
He's been like in Bogota. He attacked this fella.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the man was just walking by, and I told the maid, I said, don't let him out. I said, you never know what he's going to do. She said, he was a bad guy. He said he was attacking him because he was a bad guy. He said, he knows who's good and who's bad. So from then on, I believe it, you know.
A lot of Bogota.
Well, he attacked a nun one day. That was
oh, dear.
Well, he raised
a policeman another day. Yeah, that was.
He raised his leg on the nun's habit over in the park.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I said, oh, God, I wasn't over there. Ah, and the maid, yeah, who was a Catholic anyway, just kneel. She said, oh, Dios mio. She started crossing herself.
Then
yeah.
He's walking off, pretending like,
oh,
I don't know who
no.
that dog belongs to. That's just terrible.
They
had
to start walking over there.
Sure, of course.
Door.
I couldn't afford the church nearby, and the nun sitting out there.
You mean Turnip
is there? Yes, oh, Lord.
Well, you couldn't just leave Turnip to the strangers.
Oh, well, I knew he'd come along sooner or later, but I just couldn't.
Robert, when they were talking about going to Spain this fall, Meg said she wasn't going. She wasn't going.
No,
to be
I wouldn't leave. I wouldn't have left him. No, I
no,
wouldn't have left him.
Uh-uh.
He's 11 years old, and he's the best thing that's come along. I mean, he really, you know, he. There's one thing I must say about a dog. Faye, y'all, do you have a dog?
We don't have one, but I love dogs.
You need to get one. If you get a good dog, you've got something that is equivalent to a person and a half. I mean, a dog will never. I mean, they stick with you, and I never have any trouble with that dog. Of course, he digs holes at Daddy's house and
the tunnels under the foundation.
Tunnels under the foundation and stuff. But he's just, you know, in resting, I wouldn't hesitate to stay by myself 1 minute.
And
he
I said to your mother, you mean you're not going to Spain? You mean, how can I go to Spain when I've got Turnip?
Well,
that wasn't the reason. I don't mean.
Yeah, no. Yeah, because she wrote me about that. I told her to take it to him.
Up where you live.
Yeah, in Washington.
And you feel all right as long as
he's in there? As long as he's in there. No problem, because I mean, some of the things which he does, you know, he's not an aggressive dog, which I'm glad of. He's big, but he's not aggressive. But I feel sure that if anything happened, he and Nell one time in Bogota, we were, this taxi, Nell had cancer, and she was really dying of cancer, and we had her operated on there. She had this big white bandage around her. And the taxi drivers there were rather mean. I mean, they would try and run you down, and no joke. And we were walking along, and I'm not joking, you guys. They would try and run you down. They really would. If they see you crossing the street, they'd speed up to just
make scare
you,
run,
to
make
death.
You run,
I mean, they would miss
you.
Faye, you
like
ought to go there.
You
know,
I
have
a
bogey
time.
My kids
are
okay.
They don't like them over pedestrians.
Ah, well, they I'm not joking. And this man stopped, and I had a stick with a nail in it in case I had a dog fight back or something. And this guy tried to mow us down. And here now I was in her condition, and I scratched on his car with that stick with a nail in it and scratching the paint off.
And taxi drivers prized
they
their
were
taxi
furious.
Taxi.
He pulled up to the block and stopped and started coming back, and I was waving my nail stick at him. Well, I got mad at the fool. He missed me and the dog, and Nell couldn't get out of the way. He missed us like this, and I couldn't move. If I had moved, he would have run over the dog. He would have run over. I mean, they don't like animals, and I just wasn't about to put up with that. So he missed us that much. I raked his car with my nail, and he parked his car and started coming back. I mean, he was mad. And those dogs lit out after him. And that man jumped in his car and tore off. But they're not aggressive, but they know when to.
That's not the worst thing. We came back from the.
You know, God, they should. I'm not naturally hostile against people. But they had no business trying to run down a poor dog and a poor old woman. They had no business doing that.
We were coming back.
Justice has to be served on people like that.
And
the wrath of God will get them, or I will. Well, I carried it around with me because the dogs would get into in case they got into a fight, I had to have some way of separating them. And I mean, they will get
you
in the
can't
fight.
You can't get in the fight and
have to.
Them, they'll chew on you.
No, I know that, but still, I can't have my
dog
beat up either.
I know somebody who got chewed up.
Yeah,
separating dogs. Who was that? They got.
I got bit separating. I got one got a hold of my knee one time. I think it was my own dog.
They will though. They don't know who they're biting.
Well,
no,
they
don't. No, it
could. But it's not their fault. I mean, they. You know. I just can't take. You know, I can stand a lot of things, but I can't stand people being cruel to a child,
right.
And I cannot stand people being cruel to animals. I just can't take it.
Now, what was your...
We were on the way back from the park one day, and these maids used to get out and scrub the sidewalks, literally just scrub it on their hands and knees. And Turnip walked through the sidewalk, walked on the sidewalk, and the woman took her hose and started squirting Turnip down. And Becky ran up and grabbed the hose and squirted the woman.
I did not.
You
had my hose aimed right at that woman, and you know you did, Becky. I don't remember that.
Well, you both certainly did, and she was screaming at you, and you were screaming at her.
Was that...
And
you were down
said,
there
yes, she did. She took that.
That was a friendly neighbor.
Away from that woman.
I did not.
You most certainly did.
You
should
have.
That must have been my better days.
That's not like most.
Certainly did.
I went over and crossed in a convoy in this Liberty ship, and we had the merchant parade on there, and we had a whole lot of GIs like me, and some of them were ranking colonels, majors, and things like that. This boat, he had that hole, and he'd be out there to see that they took care of the ship, and he'd be hosing it down. They had to do that all the time,
yeah.
And here comes a bunch of them high-ranking officers. Telling you, that hose just seemed to go in that direction. he just, and I'm telling you, they might stand there, they might talk or anything, and he didn't hear a thing, you know, except he was laughing.
Oh, golly Moses. What happened to him?
He got the upper hand.
Probably had a nice barrier.
They went around.
Oh, God.
They went on some other deck.
Oh.
But let me tell you, they got a hit of him sooner or later. You take a bunch of grass, and they can take care of themselves.
Yeah.
They looted the pantry one night. They got 6 or 7 baked hams.
Oh,
you see, the merchant marine was just living the life of Riley, and the rest of us was just eating sea ration.
Oh,
sea.
Golly.
And that night, they really had a time. I wasn't in on that. I guess I wasn't. My wranglers wasn't high enough.
Oh, golly.
That didn't matter about Frank. It was just a big lark, you see. They weren't hungry. They had to be.
Well, that's the fun of it, you know, when you don't really need it.
You take the services, they're going to compete. I don't care what y'all say.
No, they do. They really do. Well, we got
what sort of mess does, what does, just me one little note or two. What sort of mess does Gerald get into working for the government and all these places?
Well, he
stays
in a mess.
You can have a good job and still the sticky side.
Oh, I'll tell you what happened last summer in Brazil to him. He went to Brazil with a conference. Now, this will kill you. He got down there, and there are two friends of his. That one of them was his head professor on his dissertation. And he and another guy and Gerald got together, and they went out to a samba club. And so he was there, and he had been buying some stones from this friend of ours down there who's a gemologist. And he mounts stones, Mr. Koss. And anyway, he was in the samba club, and these police come in with these submachine guns. And they came over, and they said, "All right, we want to question you concerning a jewel robbery." And Gerald luckily had an official passport, or diplomatic privileges, or some good rank on him, which helped. But he didn't display it because he didn't want to pull, you know, rank on these people. You never know if he'll make them mad or if he'll bring the government into it or what. But the guys took these three men, Gerald and these two others, and took them off to the side and said, "All right, where are the jewels?" And they wanted to know where the jewels were. And Gerald said, "We don't know what you're talking about." And the guy said, "There's a great big jewel robbery, and it was caused by foreigners who speak Spanish. And we know you did it." And they had them up interrogating them in a back room in the samba club with these machine guns.
An enormous amount of jewels.
The largest amount of jewels that had been done in years were robbed. And Gerald said, "Well, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're..." And the guy said, "We know you did it. Just start confessing." And luckily, Gerald had made friends with a man who was Spanish, Brazilian down there. And he knew the guys, and he came in there, and when he saw he was in trouble, came in there and told the police they were absolutely mistaken. There was some bad problem, you know, about them. So, but they got him off.
Down to over on 1600, and the end of the visit with Judy and Becky Lee this Saturday, the 18th of January, 75. Channel 2 over around 1600. The end of visit with Judy and Becky Lee this Saturday, the 18th of January, 75. Channel 2 over around 1600. The end of visit with Judy and Becky Lee this Saturday, the 18th of January, 75.